99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Los Angeles homeowner got quite a surprise while cleaning out her garage this week when she opened an old freezer and saw 20 sticks of live dynamite inside. Discovery prompted a response from the L.A. Police Department bomb squad, led to the evacuation of nearby homes in the Valley Glen neighborhood, while authorities worked to safely remove said explosives. Homeowner told officers she had no idea the dynamite was there. The freezer had been in the garage for years and was purchased when she and her late husband first moved into the home. Investigators believe the explosives may have belonged to her late husband, who passed in 2014, although authorities have not confirmed exactly how long they'd been stored there. Speaking through a police spokesman, they said all the dynamite remained stable and fortunately did not detonate because it was still live. However, he warned that if all 20 sticks had exploded, the blast could have caused significant damage in the surrounding neighborhood. Homeowner told officers she had no idea the dynamite was inside the freezer. According to reports, she said the appliance had been in the home since she and her husband purchased it years ago. She believes the explosives may have belonged to him, though authorities have not publicly explained why he might have had access to all that dynamite. Police have not identified the homeowner.
The other thing is, her husband died in 12 years ago. In 12 years, you have not once looked in the freezer. I mean, there's a lot of things I ignore in my house. I don't know if I could go 12 years like, wonder what's in the freezer or in our garage.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROD.
I mean, you're right, but I feel like the garage freezer sometimes, there's just stuff in there.
There is. I mean, look, if you're going to ignore anything, that's probably it. It's just crazy to me that 12 years after your husband passed, you finally got around to opening the thing. Like, oh my God.
I miss it. Had she just not opened it, or she just never really cleaned it out?
I guess she hadn't opened it.
I don't know if it was a chest freezer. I don't know if it was a refrigerator that had a freezer on top and the dynamite was up there. I don't know.
I feel like I would assume they were sausages.
That would have ended poorly for you.
Yes, it would have.
But I have to tell you, he ate a stick of dynamite. Not on purpose.
Well, I mean, once I picked him, but if I just looked in there and there was red logs. Like,
ooh, okay.
Yeah, what kind of sausage did he leave us?
Throw it on the grill.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROG.
Hello, Tony. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So in the 80s, down in Oregon, they didn't have MiniServe yet. You had to give the attendant your cash or card, and they would pump the fuel for you. So I pulled into a station, and I believe it was Hood River, and there's a kid pumping fuel into the back of a car, one of those cars with the license plate in the middle of the back of the car, covers the fuel cap. He's pumping fuel away, and some guy in a big RV can't wait till he can just pull straight in, so he pulls past it and backs in too far and broke both that kid's legs.
Oh, man. Damn.
Wow. Okay.
Now, what do you do? Do you just have to get your gas?
I heard him break. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. As soon as I got my fuel, I was on my way out, and the ambulance is already rolling in.
I couldn't have got out there fast enough.
Okay. Here I come to save the day. What does it sound like when the legs break? Is it a snap? Is it a crunch?
More of a crunch.
Okay. Did he just fall to the ground, I guess?
Yeah, he collapsed.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Goddamn, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I got out of there as fast as I could. A lot of heroics today.
Yeah. Legs break, it's not that bad. I saw a guy snap his Achilles. It was loud. But, like, it didn't stay burned to my image. I didn't even think about it until that guy just brought it up.
Mm-hmm. But how did he snap? Is this a sport?
Hey, he was playing hoops.
Okay. That's still kind of weird to see, but I feel like that guy's story is more prone to stay etched in my head because an RV backed into
it. There was a dude benching in college, and his pec snapped. It snapped in half. And you could hear him scream. And you heard like a pop, and then and then the bar fell on him.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole deal. I mean, it was just a clunk, 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 the whole deal. Because he didn't have
no more strength.
No, he didn't need to put the locks on. Nobody did when you're benching. But you never see. It was like a tennis ball, in like on the chest.
Yeah,
and then a tennis ball on the shoulder.
Ah,
so it was like two
and
big
they
balls.
To pull them back together.
Exactly.
Jesus.
I mean, that was one of those things. And it was summer, so there was really nobody in the weight room. There was, you know, like a handful of us. So. it was just one of the, so obviously all of us there, all hands on deck, had to help this guy. But
are you good about not making an alert? Oh! I mean, can you keep it together in those moments? Because when something first happens, you just respond to it. You know?
I mean, walking up and not understanding what had happened.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what happened. You know, like, I didn't know what was going on. It was just, I'd never seen anything like that in my life. I'm like, what in the hell happened? You know? On good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
Real quick, you're talking about putting the clamps on there.
Yeah.
Right, so DeMatha now has a separate building. The weight room, I mean, it looks like a small college, right? But when I was there, it was just in the bottom. It was like in a room in the back of the basketball gym.
All right.
So there was set time, especially if you were testing or whatever, that like the football team would be in there, right? Freshman team. Like, so we had to get a kid. He was an All-American in hoops. So I think his head was in the right place. But he was in there when the football players were in there. And he didn't have much on there. I don't know, maybe a 25 on each side. But yeah. Same thing. He couldn't lift it. And when that weight fell off and he didn't have on the clamps and that bar shot across, I mean, I don't think he went on to play in the NBA. I don't think he ever got chewed out as bad as he got chewed out by the one football coach that was in there.
Yeah.
Just like, get the F out of here. This is what you basketball players should be in here. You guys don't even need to F and lift.
Right.
So, I mean, I know Miles, this guy got hurt, but when you, I don't know if you've ever seen it in person, that bar comes swinging back.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like, holy.
It's like, thump, thump.
Yeah, right. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, obviously. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the men's room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo!
Okay. It was circa 1981, high school, locker room stuff. It was a bit disturbing because they decided to mandate showers.
Okay. Jesus, this is starting
bad.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And by the way, I appreciate you guys. I retired a year ago, and I sit in the garage, work in my car, and listen to you every day.
Oh,
so,
thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
So, yeah.
Back to my horrible story.
So the image burned,
a quick aside.
The image burned in your brain was what, 30 naked dudes?
I wanted to lighten it up a little bit. yeah, so our gym teacher, and I hate to go stereotype, but I'm going to go stereotype. His method of getting everybody to shower was to take off all his clothes and prance around the locker room.
But he stripped naked and pranced around the locker room.
And encourage everybody to get naked, yeah.
I don't know if that'd be my move.
No. I'm sure he didn't teach for very long after that.
I'm going to guess sooner or later he was showed up on the news.
Yeah, but you know, at that time, I think you could get away with it.
Well,
it turned in my mind.
In my experience, the two people that did get busted growing up were both gym teachers.
Yeah, we had one that got, but he didn't get busted.
Yeah.
He was my gym teacher through elementary school. And then after we moved to Baltimore, we'd been there for about a year. My father sold a subscription to the Rochester newspaper, and he's just like, Stephen, wasn't this your gym teacher? I'm like, oh, yeah, Mr. Stryker. Oh, God, but when I read it, the only thing I can say about this guy, he wasn't weird with the guy. He did mandate showers. He was that guy. It was like fourth grade, and it was like after square dancing, for Christ's sake. He didn't break a sweat, but whatever. But there was this one little girl that he always just called Princess, and I mean, we all knew that he was just keen on her, not in the way that we understand it now. But at the time, like, man, what did Nancy something? I'm like, why does he like her so much? You know, he's always sweet to her. He wasn't the nicest guy in the world. And then when I read that, the first thing I thought about was that girl, Nancy. And I don't know if he did anything with her or not. Right. She was not the victim in this case. But I'm like, oh. Now, looking back, I will say one thing about this gym teacher. He was that guy. He got busted for what he got busted for. But there was like a trucker hat that was sitting on a table outside of the shower for like 6 weeks, and nobody knew who it was. And me being me, eventually I had to take a poop one time, so I pooped in the trucker's hat. All right, I thought it'd be a funny thing to do, so I pooped in the trucker hat. We go back to whatever our class is after that, and maybe 10 minutes into the class, that door swings open. It's Mr. Stryker. Stryker? I think it was Mr. Stryker. Anyway, that's when I realized it was his hat.
Oh,
man. And so, I mean, he was just beet red. He is screaming at the class. Nobody knew it was his hat, all right? But when he started going, and I dropped a big old log in that thing. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, crap. I thought like another student that left it there. Nobody cared, right? So whatever. Nobody fessed up to it. The next day, somebody ratted my ass out, and it was not good. Mr. Stryker was super mad. Anyway, but once I saw that about him, why he got arrested, I'm like, I'm glad I asked in his hat, man. Yep.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Scooter. Welcome to the men's room.
Scooter.
Hola.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Gentlemen, I have to be careful with this story. When I was, I don't know how old I was. I was fairly young, like, something like that. I wasn't completely unawares of female interest as a young man, but I wasn't quite prepared for it all. And I went out with an older cousin of mine. We went down to some, you know, some dock beach or something. And I'm kind of tagging along with the older cousin. And this what I assume is just a wonderful, nice woman, a slightly robust redhead, was just sunbathing. And she had shorts so tight that she had a proverbial red forest sprouting out from the nether region.
Okay. All right.
And it sort of traumatized me.
It traumatized you?
I told Steve in the office earlier, man. Like, one of the things that's burned into my brain is we had the community pool, and the ladder in the deep end where the diving boards were. And they were a little bit higher up, you know what I mean? It was just not a big deal. But the woman in front of me, who just went before me, she was having a hard time pulling herself up. And this was the 70s. And, I mean, I looked up, because I'm looking up at the ladder, man, and it's half of it's in, half of it's out. I'd never seen one either, and I was just like,
how old were you?
Yeah. Man, 7, 8 years old.
So you're just like, what is going on?
I didn't understand. I was like, Jesus Christ. What is going on here, man?
That was exactly my experience, Miles. I don't recall my age, but it was just like just a tad too much information. And it kind of traumatized me. I've never been really proper with hair.
Yeah.
You think that ruined it for you?
Yeah, I really do.
All right. Okay.
That's fair, man.
I just
didn't understand what I was seeing.
I would not have known when I was 8, I think it was, my brother and his buddy, they got their hands on a Penthouse magazine, which I did not know at the time, but the two of them come out of his garage. They see me in the front yard, and they thought I was going to be grossed out or freaked out or whatever. So Jack, his buddy, I remember he opens up this Penthouse centerfold. I don't know what they thought it was going to do for me. And at that age, you can't piece it all together. But I'm like, I do not know why, and I don't know how to explain this. I like women. I like what I'm seeing right there. But it's burned in my head. I can tell you exactly how she trims. I remember exactly her hairstyle. I remember exactly the color of her hair. I remember her pose. I could not do that with any other centerfold or piece of porn I've seen in my life. That one I remember because it was the first time. And I'm like, daddy-like. I don't know why. I do not know why, but I want to see more of that.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So this one's pretty graphic. Last year, I drive a commercial dump truck for a living. I was working night. Coming southbound I-5 around Everett-Linwood, 164th area.
All right.
One of those crotch rocket motorcycles flying down the on-ramp probably gets up to about 120 and smacks dead into the back of a pickup.
Ooh.
Killed instantly. And it's, woo. it's something I'll never be able to get out of my head watching him fly off that bike. I mean, he was dead before he hit the ground.
Did you pull over?
I did not. I was two lanes over, and he was... Obviously, when after the collision, he ended up on the shoulder, and I had to haul ass. I had to get the heck out of there, man.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was bad.
That is brutal, man. Mm.
And then you know, I saw the same thing going northbound, just north of 164th. I saw the aftermath of that one, and it's like, I've seen so many accidents doing in my profession. It's unreal. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I can't imagine being EMT. I really cannot.
Yeah.
I mean, would be a job. I think it'd be hard to come home sometimes and eat dinner.
When do you have a good day? Do you have a good day because you did not get a call? And I'm like, this is my job, but the best day I can have is when nothing happens.
Yeah. It's every day. A dump truck got in an accident today with a car, and the driver of that car didn't make it.
Well, jeez. EMTs have good days, too. There's sometimes you get there
and save a life.
Mm-hmm. Correct. But, I mean, having enough friends that have had that job, like it weighs on people.
It has to.
Right? You're dealing with, you know, same way and like sometimes for cops, it weighs on them because you're dealing even with good people generally doing bad stuff.
Yeah.
Even if it's a traffic violation, they're not in a good mood. Nobody wants to see at that point. So for the EMTs, it's a couple friends I've had, like I don't think they realized what it was doing to their brain until after a while where it's like,
well, I think you have to compartmentalize, right? You have to. And then at some point, maybe the weekend, when you just kind of let your brain breathe a little bit, like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So do morticians have a good day? Right? Because you're not there at the scene. In and out, but depending who the victim is or how severe it is, like, does that weigh on it? I just feel like if you deal with dead bodies all the time, what's the tipping point where you're like, this is too much?
I don't know. I can't speak to morticians. I had a friend.
Well, what good are you?
Her father worked at a funeral home.
Yeah.
But he just kind of did it for extra money on the side. And he was just
side hustle.
Right. He was just like the guy that would greet you and stuff. But he was a very nice man. You know what I mean? Like, I went to grade school with her for years. Like, I that guy died, but I miss him. But he was that good of a dude. So for him, he didn't have bad days. And he just looked at it as like, I'm here to comfort people.
Okay.
The morticians, I don't know. I can only speak to the firemen. I just know my two buddies really struggled. I think it was more the compartmentalization for years. And then something happens or triggers it. You know what I mean? It's almost like PTSD for veterans.
And I felt bad. My aunt died in October, November, whichever it was. And I flew down to Texas for a funeral. And if you know her, it's no surprise. But even in death, this woman had more freaking costume changes than Cher or Madonna. I mean, and if you know her, you're like, of course. But at some point, 5 costume changes total, I believe.
While being passed on.
From the time the funeral started, and we can view her, and then you get to wherever else you're going, and she's wearing something else, and there's a third, because this is, apparently she wrote out exactly how she wanted this thing to go down before her death, right? Because she had cancer for a while, so she knew it was coming. But she had written out how she wanted this thing to go down, and I'm only smiling, because again, if you knew her, you're like, of course. But anyway, 5 costume changes, and when they finally interned her ass, you know, she's in a completely different outfit. But in my brain, all I could think is like, who has to do this?
You
know,
funeral home.
Are they? I know, but are they like, look, man, you know, we put you something and then we bury you. But with my aunt, like, we have to keep taking your body out of whatever it's in, redress you, put it in whatever position, put you in a different vessel, I will leave it at that, for you to go from one place to the other. But it just blew my mind, like, this has to be a weird day. You keep undressing a dead body, and nobody has this many requests. Seriously, like Cher changes clothes fewer times during a concert than this woman did being dead.
Our question, good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
The mighty 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Return to Who Sucks Less coming up at 4:30 right after emails on our question, good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK. As we head on down to California, this is something that'll forever be burned into both these people's brains. Pre-dawn clash between pets and wildlife in Mammoth Lakes ended with a husband and wife hurt and a young black bear dead. Police say the encounter began around 6 a.m. on Monday when the woman rushed outside after hearing her dogs barking and saw a 17-month-old, 70-pound bear fighting with one of her dogs. She went over and tried to break this fight up. Then the bear allegedly turned on her, biting and clawing. So now her husband comes out to help, and he was also injured before the pair used a water bottle and the blunt end of a hatchet to beat the animal back.
The blunt end.
He critically injured the bear with a blunt end, the backside of it.
No, I don't.
Why not just use the hatchet? The bear's attacking you.
That's my thought, but it worked.
Because it's going to stay in there. You don't want to, you know what I mean? You just want to keep pounding that thing on the head.
I see, right. You get the blade stuck in there. The bear's not dead. Now it's just real pissed.
Same with a hammer. You don't want to use a claw in, because if you stick it in there, you're going to yank it back out and do it again instead of just bapping the thing on
the
head.
I mean, now that you say that, that makes sense. I think instinctually, I would have just tried to hack that bear.
Me too. We both be dead.
Yeah, good point.
But that's it.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with a meat cleaver. You always want to use the backside. You know what I'm saying? Couple drove themselves to a hospital and are expected to recover, as are the dogs. Wildlife officers later located and euthanized the bear. I guess they just put it out of its misery.
Yeah.
Calling such aggressive behavior extremely rare for the area. Bears almost always avoid humans and will flee when confronted. Except this one, because he was attacking a dog.
He was fighting the dog, not exactly. The people.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-RIDE.
That's just, generally, right, the black bear is not going to attack. But once it's attacking the dog and she jumps in.
And you jump in, yeah.
Now the bear is all worked up. You've seen those people, like, a fist fight, and they don't even look, and they swing and hit, like, the wrong person.
Oh, yeah. I will say this, and just with these videos, you can see a lot of bear videos, and it seems like if it's a dog and a bear, the bear will fight, right? Mm-hmm. Some dogs try to get out of it. Some dogs are ready to throw down, too. For whatever reason, if a cat runs out there, the bear takes off.
Oh,
I don't know about the tiny-ass cat, but cats are like the crackhead who finally snapped. Like, they might weigh 87 pounds, but somehow you just know, like, do not mess with this.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah. I mean, go out there like,
every once in a while, a bear gets involved with a mountain lion of some type.
Sure.
Just being out in the middle of nowhere. They probably just know. I know what this thing is. To some degree.
You know, that is actually a good point. Like, oh, you're a smaller version of the killer? Yeah.
No thanks. Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
That just makes me think of something. Mike, can you do research to find out there's ever been a serial killer that's also a dwarf? I'm just off the top of my, right? Because you're saying, like, the bear looks at the house cat and says, I know what you are. You're just a smaller version. And I'm like, no, that's a good point. But I just thought to myself, I've never heard of, like, the dwarf serial killer. Has there been one, at least, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see what we hear. Yes, there have been documented cases of serial killers with dwarfism or a form of proportionate dwarfism, though they are exceptionally rare. There's a man in Brazil, Marcelo de Jesus Silva, a prominent real-world example, a Brazilian serial killer who was just 1.28 meters in height. Because of his diminutive stature, he was nicknamed Chucky.
Oh man. Well, maybe that's what set him off.
He was a part of a criminal group and was accused of participating in more than 20 murders, robberies, and drug trafficking. Damn. We also have right here in the States in 1935, Henry J. Fernicus.
All right.
Fernicus. Described in contemporary news reports as, I'm not going to say that word, the small killer, committed suicide with poison after escaping custody. He was apprehended by authorities following a multi-state manhunt for his involvement in several murders.
Mm-hmm. So trust no one.
Damn.
There you go.
You would think the world's already against you.
Oh, why
do something evil?
Because the world's already against it.
I'm just saying, it seems like there's challenges that arise with being a little person.
Without being a serial killer as well.
Correct.
Don't complicate it.
Well, hey. There was that crazy guy in Baltimore.
Crazy guy in Baltimore.
Or in Maryland.
Oh, the guy that didn't have the arms.
He didn't have arms?
Oh,
he
God, that's right.
Cornhole champion?
Right. And what is...
And think how fast he is, all right? Because he was driving... Wasn't he driving the car?
Yes.
He was driving... The dude has no arms, but he still carries a gun. And he got into an argument with the passenger about whatever. I have no idea. He threatened to shoot this passenger, and I don't know how quickly he did it, but this armless man managed to get a hold of his gun and shoot the dude. And then you find out, like, he's a marksman or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a video of him upside down on his little arm stumps doing cocaine.
Doing cocaine?
And then he flips over, walks over to a window, and shoots a rifle.
Wait, he did a handstand, and he's doing cocaine?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Some people are just built different. Hello, Alejandro. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
How you doing, man?
So about 10 years ago, I want to say, I lived in Texas, and some of the roads out there, FMs, which is farm to market, they're about 75 miles per hour or some such. So we lived in this little piece of land, about 10 acres. So I'm walking my nephew out to the front of the property. That's where the bus is going to pick him up. And I see this dead horse laying on the road. And I mean, you know, we're out in the country. Horse got loose. Dead horse got hit by a car at some point. And this was 6 in the morning, or around 6 in the morning. I can't really remember the time. Anyways, I look to my left, and there is a car in a ditch on the side of the road, the entire top of the car missing.
Oh.
There's a lady, and I remember exactly what she looked like. She had short hair, blonde. She was this white lady. She's holding onto the steering wheel, her entire face bloody. She must have been going 75 miles per hour. It's at early in the morning. I'm not entirely sure when it happened. She hit this horse, and the horse, she must have hit the horse, you know, she was driving some Audi, a smaller car. She hit the horse, I'm almost certain she hit her in the legs, and the entire horse just ripped the entire top of her car off. She she careened, and I'm pretty sure she ended up in the ditch. But I remember walking up to her, and she was trying to talk to me very calmly, but, I mean, you could tell that she was in shock. She, full blood, everything. She's telling me that she was on her way to San Antonio for a some kind of work conference, and I am just sitting there trying to calm her down. Somebody else stops by, and we call the, you know, we call the police. She ended up being airlifted, but I just remember seeing this horse laying there. And, you know, I don't even remember if the horse was alive, if it was just hurt. I don't remember any of that. The only thing that I can remember is this woman's face all bloodied up. I mean, the entire top of her cart gone. She had to get airlifted. And what we're waiting there for, you know, what we're waiting there trying to calm her down, trying to keep her talking, because we, you know, I don't really know what her situation is. I mean, for all I know, she could have had a broken neck or something. This horse is just laying on the side of the road, and it never occurred to us that, hey, maybe we should fly people down to be like, hey, slow down. Because those roads, it's a point to mark. It's 75 miles per hour. So those roads, sometimes they're 80 miles per hour. This truck sees the horse last minute, slams on their brakes, and he must have hit this horse going 50 miles per hour, sent the entire truck flying up. But I just remember this.
Jesus Christ,
what a
man.
Day. What a morning. Well, did your buddy make his did your buddy make his bus?
Oh, no, that was my nephew. He must have been like 6 years old. I mean, the bus showed up at some point. I don't even remember anymore. I'm almost certain he went to school, but I just remember like leaving right there in front of the house and running up to this lady, and I told him, hey, stay here, because I didn't want him to come over here and see her. But man.
And you said she was still holding on to the steering wheel?
She was still holding on to the steering wheel, yeah.
Dang, well, I'm telling you, thank God she made it.
She must have been in so much shock. I don't even know if she did or not. I just remember her being airlifted, and I don't know what happened to her.
Wow. Well, that's we know crazy. What happened to the horse.
Yeah.
Damn.
Had a horrible day.
Horse is gone, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
yeah, it's horrible.
I can understand being in shock if the top of my car has been ripped off because I slammed into a giant animal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. But just the idea of still holding the steering wheel, like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, there was one day in Baltimore, and we were going to Preakness. Now,
I hit a racehorse.
There is, in fact, there's a glue factory in,
Jesus Christ.
In downtown Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you can really smell it. Sometimes you can't.
But always right after Preakness.
Exactly. It was the day of Preakness. We're driving. It's a sunny day. It's the summer. We get the windows rolled down. Like, and the overwhelming smell of glue just hits you. You're just like,
Okay.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing 206-803-ROCK?
It's ridiculous.
Right. If there's one day you guys could slow production a little bit.
I still don't know if it's true. But I've definitely been at a racetrack where a horse has hurt itself.
Oh, yeah.
And they put up that little tent.
Yeah, and the shit thing.
That's my understanding. But I used to remember as a kid.
A couple of times last year, there was some track where the horses kept going down, and they'd show the video where you see these guys come out of a big white cloth, then they kind of cut away for a second, and you can hear a bang, and then it cuts back. And I'm like, well, we know what just happened, man. There's a guy with a shotgun. You don't show us, but and then they pay him back. I'm like, it's still on the track, man. You would just think, like, I don't know. I've heard that it happens. I just thought maybe they dragged them off somewhere and did it.
Right.
But it's like, if you're sitting in the stands, like, oh, there's Larry. All right. Yep.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
We one time went to the racetrack on my mom's birthday. And it was this big thing. My dad actually had a race that was dedicated to her, had her name put up there on the board and whatnot. Yeah, one of the horses went down.
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, damn.
Pulled the curtain and everything. Happy birthday,
so, like,
Mom!
Right, like, I've been in a track where that curtain's there, so I'm saying, I don't know. You don't see what happens to the horse afterwards. They can't be a gunshot because you'd hear it in the stands. But I'm like, do they just euthanize it right there?
I think so, man.
I swear my dad always told me that, and I was like, that can't be true. But I've also never seen a horse, like, with a leg bandage.
And there's a reason for that.
Just wrap it up, man.
Yeah.
I didn't see the horse die, but I guess a couple of years ago, they kept it kind of hush-hush at the kids' school. They have the Harvest Festival, and I get they partnered up with some, like, local farmer or something like this. But he's going to bring a horse. And the kids can ride it around the parking lot where they set up hay and all this crap. And my wife's always involved in stuff. So she's there. The guy's running late. You know, they're making the phone calls. And the guy's finally like, hey, listen, we're going to show up, but we're going to be a little late. The horse we were bringing died on the way.
Oh, no. Oh,
I was like, what kind of ghetto-ass horse does this dude have, man? Nothing happened to it. It just died. Yeah, so they showed up later with a different horse. I was like, okay, maybe he's a different group next time.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-RON.
That horse couldn't take it. Not another one of these damn school things.
She's just like, we just couldn't tell the kids. You know, they're all excited for the horse. We couldn't say, like, it's dead, kids.
There's a horse coming.
Hello, Chase. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So just to confirm about the horse thing real quick.
All right.
This isn't my story, but when I was younger, I went to the horse track. I'm from Wyoming. I went to the horse tracks with my grandma, and she used to love going out there. And the first time I went out with her, a horse broke its leg.
Oh.
And the owner walked out, no curtain, no nothing, and put a bullet in its head.
Jesus, that sounds like the Wyoming way. By the way, my wife just texted me. It was a pony, not a horse. Somehow that makes it worse. But you saw this. Anyway. How old were you when you saw this thing get shot?
Oh, at that time, I was probably like 10, maybe 11.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, for Wyoming, though,
I know,
but that's cowboy country. Like, that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, you're not going to see it in Kentucky Derby.
No. Right, like I was at Laurel Racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's like, they shot him. I'm like, no.
But what's the worst thing you've seen, or the most memorable thing you've seen?
So this is another Wyoming story. So I was in eighth grade. I was probably about 13, 14. And to keep my grades up, I'd always play sports because I didn't really care too much about the academics. So I'd always have to stay late to get at least a D so I could compete in the sport events.
There you go. Aim for the stars, brother.
Exactly. Anyways, I had this English teacher, and at the time, I didn't really think much of it, but I remember she was probably mid-60s, and I remember at the time, she would kind of make comments here and there, like, one time I was sitting at a desk, staying late, the only one there, and she'd like be sitting in front of me and she'd like look up and we'd make eye contact and she'd be like, oh, you've got the most beautiful eyes. And I'd be like, oh, all right, well, thanks. And it was just comments like that constantly. And then she, like the week after that last comment, she moved the seating arrangement. So I was in the front of the class and she would always sit on this stool right in front of like the front row. And she had gotten, for some background on this, she had gotten dress coded by the principal.
All right.
Multiple times. And she was wearing these super, super, super short skirts. And she was sitting right in front of me and bell rang, whatever. She was still sitting there and I was wrapping up whatever I was doing, about to get up and leave. And she starts talking to me, so I'm just still sitting there. And I remember, like, there was a pause in the conversation, and she spread her legs, and I saw more than I wanted to.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So she just offered it up to you.
She definitely did. And, I mean, 13, 14 years old, I didn't have much experience in that department. But as I grew up, I was pleasantly surprised that they don't all look like that.
Oh, damn. Oh, wow.
Okay.
I guess maybe it's better to start with the ugliest one.
Yeah, this question went away. Sideways. Good or bad, what's an image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Craig. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
So I am working for a small ambulance company way back in the day. We're talking 80s. And coming back from a hospital. The weather's horrible. It was so bad the siren speakers got clogged with snow from my previous call, so they were hardly working. So the weather was horrible. On our way back, and I'm like, wow, man, look at this guy coming up behind us. And I've got a paramedic partner. And this guy blew by us. I'm doing like 30 on a 50 mile an hour zone. This guy goes by us like 80. I'm like, well, he ain't going to live long. And I pull up and there's a there had been a wreck where we picked up this other dude that I took to the hospital like, you know, 45 minutes earlier. I told the troopers, hey, did you see that guy? He goes, he says, I can't catch him. He's too fast. It's too icy. All right. And we just started driving down the road 30 miles an hour again. And I see a column of smoke and fire at night. You ever see that together at night? It's very distinct. You can't miss it. And I'm like, oh, no. So a partner gets on the radio, said, hey, looks like I've got a, you know, a fire at a certain area. And we pull up, and there's a car on the side of the road with the door skin ripped off it, and a guy sitting in the driver's seat. We pull up, park. I run out, and woof, this other car that passed us burst into flames. I mean, it's, you hear the phrase, burst into flames. It did. I'm like, oh, God, this is like a movie. I ran back. I got this extinguisher out of our ambulance, and I looked at him, and I'm like, he disappeared in flames. Oh. I couldn't see the driver anymore because it was just orange, licky flames. It was just, it was surreal. And I just took this dry chem extinguisher, and I just sprayed it all over him or where I thought he should be. A state trooper and a Puyallup, oops, shouldn't say it, a cop runs up and goes and dumps a fire extinguisher on him. And there was just, it's not going out. It was just surreal. And the dude reaches and grabbed my arm at one point. And I felt, I mean, I don't want to be pulled in here. We can't open the door. So we just stepped back. And I'm like, I'm watching the guy die. And I walked over to the other car, the car that he had contact with, and that guy's just literally gone, he's fine. He's fine. And I just step away. I said, well, we can't watch this. And we debated. It's like, what else is coming with fire extinguisher? What? And the fire department was coming, but it was so icy out, they couldn't go over like 30, 40 miles an hour. And it was just crazy to watch. I just stepped away.
Yeah,
and a couple minutes later, I walked around the ambulance, and the guy's laying on the ground. He crawled out.
The guy from the burning car crawled out.
From the burning car, crawled out of the car. He was wearing, like, 80s-era heavy metal clothing, like Bruce Dickinson would have worn in 88.
Oh, okay.
I wonder, if that helped him with the flames.
Oh, I think it did, because we transported the dude to the hospital, and 9 months later, I'm in court. And the guy's on the witness stand, and he's in trouble because of things that happened. And I was supposed to testify, and they settled out of court, so I was booted out of the court. But I saw the guy. We saw each other in the hall. He didn't know who I was. We kind of nodded, and I remember I was horrified. I mean, that rocked my world.
Yeah.
I know, it's a human being on fire.
I'm walking by, and he's, I guess, sort of fine. His face looked normal and stuff like that. He had stuff on his hands, but a bandaging on his hands. But it was just,
damn,
you spray a fire extinguisher, multiple fire extinguishers. I was pretty young, and this cop was looking at me, and he had a what do I do now look in his face. And that's kind of weird when you're like 21 and a cop's looking at you going, what do I do now?
Well, I mean,
you don't really have other options. So, I mean, that seems right.
That's all you could have done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to stand around watching.
You're right. I mean, you got to hope the fire department gets there.
Yeah. All right.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
I'm glad the story ended the way it did.
I know. Me too.
Like, this is Christ. Awful.
Not going to lie. That's like the only thing that got him through was that he made it through.
I was wondering. I was like,
Jesus, man. Now I keep picturing a crispy Bruce Dickinson. Hello, Sean. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Hey, so let me start this off by just saying that I grew up in an all-male household. My dad was a single father from the time I was 7 up until my brother and I were 18 and moved out. So obviously when you're in a household like that, there's, you know, a bro code, like men rules, you know, like wash your facial hair out of the sink after you shave. You got a girl over, you know, warn somebody else so they don't walk in, and most importantly, lock the bathroom door. So when I was probably about 13, my brother was in the bathroom, and I had to go, but I didn't know he was in there. The door was closed, and I just walked in there, and I interrupted him, taking care of himself.
Uh-huh. Did you guys make eye contact?
Absolutely, we did. And it was one of the most awkward things I will probably ever see, not only because I walked in on that, but his reaction. So he's sitting there. I believe he was using a Maxim magazine. Y'all are familiar with that?
Oh, yeah.
He was using Maxim, and I walked in there, and as soon as I did, he jumped backwards, pants still around the ankles, hands up in the air like I was a cop, and just goes, "Whoa, you caught me."
All right. Yeah.
Busted.
Good times.
Who Sucks Less is coming up, and we've got your emails on the way next to the men's room at KISW.com.